Talk to you about the power of hedges, the power of hedges, and I want us to see some of the principles that Hosea discovered. Job literally saw as a reality, and even Moses experienced in his life. Others in the Old Testament came to understand the important aspect of praying a hedge of protection over those that were under their care. If you have your Bibles, turn this morning to the book of Job. Job chapter 1 to begin with. Job chapter 1. And we'll begin reading with verse 6 and read on down through verse 10. Job chapter 1, beginning with verse 6, on down through verse 10. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. And then chapter 3. Go over two chapters to chapter 3 and look at one verse. Verse 23. Job chapter 3, verse 23. Why is light given to a man whose way is hid, and whom God hath hedged in? And may the Lord add his blessing to his word this morning. I would like you to listen real carefully, because this message, quite honestly, could be a message of life and death. It could be a message of physical life and death, or spiritual life or death. And I want to begin by starting out looking at the perspective of hedges. I don't want to hone in specifically on the aspects of Job's life this morning, but I do want you to know that in the book, there are several perspectives. People had different perspectives and explanations for what Job was going through. And so we see his predicament at times from God's perspectives. And then there are times, like in chapter 3, where we see the perspective from Job's point of view. Job saw that God had hedged him in. Had hedged him in with a hedge, and that God had finished guiding him, directing him, and helping him, and protecting him. And then later on, we see the perspective from Job's comforters, his friends. They were really anything but comforters, but that's what they came supposedly to do. And some of them said, oh, Job, you're suffering this because you've sinned in the eyes of God, or you're just too stuck up, you're too arrogant, and you would be humble enough to acknowledge that God is sovereign in your life. And we could spend a lot of time talking about those comforters and his friends. Let me just tell you this, they were wrong in their perspective. And then we see the perspective of Job's wife even. She says, why don't you just curse God and die? I mean, all of this has happened to you. All of this has befallen you. Why not just end all of this? What's the point in honoring a God who doesn't seem to honor you? So just curse him and let's be done with it. Can I tell you that her perspective was also wrong? I read the story this week about what happened in Rochester, New York. It's an older story. It was in October of 1993. But there was a car that was surrounded by police, because as they looked into the window in the back seat of this car, they saw a man with a rifle. And the people were attempting to get his attention, to negotiate with this man, to put down the rifle and to come out of the car. But there was no answer. They watched and they waited. They watched, looked very carefully at this man in the back seat, and they couldn't sense even any movement. Finally, the police discovered the truth, that the man in the back seat was actually a mannequin. And when the authorities tracked down the owner and said, why do you have a mannequin? Why do you have a dummy in your back seat? He said, I have it for protection. You know, in New York, you can't be too careful. There's all kinds of carjackings and robberies that take place. So, you know, if you got a passenger, especially a passenger with a gun, I feel a lot safer. So now from the perspective of the driver, the mannequin was there for protection. But from the perspective of the police officers, that mannequin proved to be a lethal threat. Now, I want you to see that Job began to view God's protection and God's hedge around him as a lethal threat. We might say, knowing the story of Job, that Job, we don't blame him for feeling the way that he does, and he should be forgiven for his way of thinking. But nevertheless, we have to ask ourselves, when we get life's hedges around us and we feel like we're fenced in and there are some restrictions, how do we view them? What is our perspective on things that happen in our lives? What is the perspective of that? You know, of course, our perspective should be one of heavenly sight, one that God would view, but a lot of times our perspective is wrong. Because we don't understand things from God's frame of reference. We don't understand them from God's point of view. We just see them from our own perspective, our limited view, our narrow view. You know, there's something interesting here, and that is Satan's perspective on this whole thing. Satan's perspective with regards to life hedges. And you won't hear me say this very often, maybe never again, but there's something that we can learn from Satan in this passage. There's something that we can learn from his point of view. He had the right perspective with regard to Job's hedge. You see in chapter 1 there in verse 10 that Satan knew that God had placed a hedge of protection around his believer. He said, "Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house? And about all that he hath on every side, thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land." But what's interesting, this hedge that was a problem for Satan was also a problem for Job because of the way Job looked at his situation. When we look at chapter 3 and verse 23 again, it's the same hedge. The same hedge that was a problem for Satan had now become a problem for Job because he felt that God was hemming him in, that God was restricting him. It was harming him in some way. Why is light given to a man whose way is hid and whom God hath hedged in? Could I suggest to you today that Satan knew more about God's hedge than Job did? I wonder today if that's not true also, that Satan knows more about the hedges that God puts up as protection in our lives than we do. Again, Satan's point of view, he had the right viewpoint. He saw the fence around the child of God as keeping his evil influence out. You realize that today, you're sitting here in this meeting this morning, and regardless of what circumstances have come into your life, there is a wall around you like there was Job. And the devil had to take notice of it. And the devil has to take notice of the wall that is around you this morning. To me, that's very interesting. Satan studies. He looks for a way in. He looks for a way in the life of Job. He couldn't find any. And it's interesting to me that when we get to the book of James in chapter 2 and verse 19, words from the New Testament, it says that the devils also believe and tremble. Here's my question for us today as the children of God, the people of faith. Could it be that demons and devils have more faith in the providential protection of God than we do? In fact, I would say it's not only possible, it's probable. It's factual, because here we have an example of it. God had protected Job. He had hedged him in. But Job says, "He put a hedge about me." He said, but God had set a defense for his family as well and for his possessions. He was one of God's servants. So God took him under his protection, under his wings, so to speak, and he and his family and all that he had that belonged to him were included in this hedge. The devil looks at this hedge and he speaks with great vexation and frustration. I see that thou hast made a hedge about him. He's so frustrated that he can't get through. I believe the devil went and looked at the hedge. He is looking for a gap. He was trying to spy out a way in. No matter how hard he looked, he couldn't find a way in. God had built this protection, this hedge, a complete hedge of protection. It's remarkable that the same entity in chapter 3 and verse 23, again, is viewed by Job as a restriction. Job looks at that very same hedge, and he looks at it and he says, God won't let me through. I'm hedged in. God won't let me go beyond it. See, Satan looks at it, says they're protected inside that hedge. And sometimes we look at the hedge and we say, we're hindered. What we want to do is limited. What we want to do is out there. And God says, no. Very same hedge became a problem for both. It depends on your perspective. Satan's side of the perspective was the right side. Our side too often is the wrong side. And let me ask you, are you seeing God's hedge in your life as a restriction of your progress? When really, what is providence for your own personal protection? It all depends on your perspective. What is your perspective? Now, I love reading Christian biographies and the life stories of the great saints of God throughout Christian history. And when you read their lives, you begin to see that it wasn't all golden experiences, that these people had their troubles, even though they had a heavenly view of things, but they passed through the tragedies and trials of life. They had tribulations that we might never experience. And in fact, it seems that to me that the greater men and women that were used of God in the past went through the greatest perplexities and problems. Many of them found that at times they felt God was hedging them in. They felt restricted. That God wasn't delivering them in the way that they thought he should. But, you know, always with the gift of hindsight, you know, looking back, you can see the hand of God. You can look back on their experience and see that the hedges in their life were not restrictions, but protections. Hindsight is not always a gift that we have today, but if we look at back and through these Christian biographies and read about some of the times God protected them, we can see his hand of protection and his hedging of them in. For example, Augustine tells the story that once he was saved from death by the mistake of a guide. The guide was leading them along the road. He had gone up the wrong road, and both the guide and Augustine got completely lost. But little did they know that the providential hand of God was leading them up the wrong road. Because had they gone up on the right road, there was a group of people called the Dotnas who were a religious group that persecuted other Christians during that time, and they were laying in wait to murder Augustine. And so if Augustine had not, his guide, had not gotten off the path, I mean, after all, you hire a guide, right, to get you down the right path, to go to the right way. But God's providence stopped in, and God put a hedge on the right path and restricted them from going that way so that they had to go an alternate route because he was protecting them. Because had they gone down the path that they had chosen, they would have been murdered. It was God's protection. Again, it's your perspective on, is it God protecting you or is it God restricting you? John Bunyan, the writer of Pilgrim's Progress, before he was a converted man, he was really a foolhardy man. We can read stories of him in his childhood when he'd lift up a snake and when it would rise up against him, and he would lift up the snake with one hand, and with the other hand, he would pluck the venom right out of its mouth and not be harmed. He had no fear, it seemed, I mean, we would call that some foolishness, but that's what he did. On one occasion when he was in the army, it was his turn to stand guard. It was during the siege of Nottingham. This was an adventure and a privilege that he would have gladly taken. He would have gladly stood guard, and it was his turn. But just before he went on guard duty, somebody else came up to him and said, "I would like to take guard duty for you this evening." And that night, that guard was shot, and he died, and Bunyan escaped and lived. The fact of the matter is, we would not have Pilgrim's Progress today had not the providential hand of God stepped in to save John Bunyan's life. There's Martin Luther. The Reformer made his historic stand before the Diet of Worms, and he started for home. His friends were greatly perplexed and worried about his safety as Luther entered the carriage and went down a narrow road. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, he is surrounded by five horsemen. They are masked and completely armed. In the silence of that night, they forced Luther to get on one of their horses. And then they threw a knight's cloak over his shoulder and placed him on the extra horse that they had brought. And they disappeared into the darkness of the forest. Silently, five captors took him to the castle Wartburg and hid him in the high mountains. And when they got him to the place where they wanted him, they took off his garb, they took off the ecclesiastical garments of a Roman monk, and they put on him the garment of a knight. And they knighted him Knight George. They kept him for 10 months in the castle. They protected him there. And you know what he was commissioned by them to do? He was commissioned at that time to translate the Bible into the German language. You know, it was God's hand all along. God's leading, God's direction. He could have looked at it, "I'm being hedged in. I have to do this." And yet it's the very thing that God wanted him to do. God protected him while he translated the Bible into the German language. Satan tells us anything. If he tells us anything, he tells us that there is a wall of fire. There is a wall of fire around every believer that paralyzes the evil influences of the evil one. The only way Satan can get in and touch anything is if he gets God's divine permission to do so. Otherwise, he can't touch us. You know, let's not attribute to the hand of Satan more than what he deserves. People today think that Satan is all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He can be everywhere at once. You know, he can't. He is limited. Sometimes you hear people talking about Satan in this way, but yet we have to understand that he came to present himself to God, and God says, "Have you considered my servant Job? He's a righteous man, one who hates evil." And God had built this hedge about him, and Satan was not successful in doing anything against him without God's permission. This is the God that we have. This is the God that we serve. The only one omniscient and all-knowing is God. The only one that is omnipotent and all-powerful is God. The only one that can be everywhere at one time is God. And we are completely safe as we allow ourselves to be hedged in under his protection. There were two very ancient charts dating back to the time of Henry the Fourth's navigators. On one chart, there was a vast unexplored waste over which the geographers had written their weird legends. They didn't know what was there, so they let their superstitious minds run away with them. And they wrote at the bottom, "Here be dragons, here be demons, here be sirens." And everybody was frightened to go into that area of the map. They were frightened to explore those areas. Now the second map, the second document had passed through the hand of a vigilant master mariner by the name of Sir John Franklin, who was also a great man of God. He was a man who knew the Bible and believed that the stories of the Old Testament were true and that God still worked miracles through the New Testament in our Lord Jesus Christ. And he believed that the prophecies and the promises concerning Christ were true. And so he took that map and he marked all of these superstitions on that map. He boldly wrote across them all, not here be demons, here be dragons, here be sirens, but here be God. Here be God. Sometimes we look at the situation and we wonder, where is God? I'll tell you, God is right there in the middle of it. We might look at it and we look at the situation and we think that God has lost control. No, it's God who is in control. He's hedging us in. Do we, as the children of God, acknowledge the elementary fact that in the darkness, even the darkness, darkest experiences of our lives, God is there? Don't ask me to explain it. I really can't. I cannot always explain the situations that Christians go through. But I know that God is there, even though we don't understand. I believe that later on we'll be able to look back, and with great hindsight we will be able to understand, but maybe not even in this life. We might not be able to understand it all. William Cowper couldn't, and that's why he said, God moves in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. The question today is what viewpoint have you adopted? Have you adopted the perspective of the hedge of protection or a hedge of limitation? Let's look at the provision of hedges in Scripture. God provides a hedge of protection for those who honor him. Did you notice God's evaluation of Job? Have you considered my servant, Job? Verse 8. It'd be nice to believe that God builds a hedge for protection around everyone. But the truth is this, he is looking for those who have surrendered their lives to him and are willing to become his servants. I was blessed by the song, the chorus we sang this morning. We hadn't sang that chorus in years. But Lord, you are a servant. Make me one too. That's the kind of man Job was. He served God, and God had rewarded him with this hedge. Your goal, my goal in life should be what that song that we sang about this morning says. Our goal should be God's servants. Even as Jesus came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. When you hear the word hedge, what do you think? We might think of a hedge, a bush, maybe a few bushes. Maybe you have hedge trimmers in your garage. But the word hedge in the Bible describes something more substantial than a bush. The Hebrew word literally means a wall. A hedge was a defensive wall often built around a city. The bottom part might be comprised of stones or hard-packed dirt, and there would be thorny plants on top of it. And we'll get to it, but the Bible talks about a hedge of thorns as well. But the general idea of the hedge is that of a protective fence, a barrier. And in this conversation with God, Satan pointed out that God had built this spiritual hedge around Job, around his family or his household, and around all his possessions. Job couldn't see the hedge, but Satan could. And there are many things that exist in this world, in the spiritual world, that are invisible to our eyes, but that doesn't mean they don't exist. That doesn't mean that they're not real just because we can't see them physically. It's a wonderful insight to realize that God can provide a spiritual barrier around his servants to protect them from spiritual attacks. And so around you this morning, around your family, your servant of God, there is a hedge. You can't see it, but Satan can see it. But just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not real. Doesn't mean it's not there. It is. There are many examples in the Bible of God's promise to protect his servants. For example, in Psalm 91:4, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Psalm 91:10-11, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for thee he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. The missionary John Pollock and his wife went to a group of islands in the South Pacific. When they arrived, they were the first Europeans the natives had ever seen. The tribal magician feared these white intruders, so he convinced the members of his tribe to kill these strangers. They said, "These strangers are here to kill our children. And so in order to protect our children, we need to kill them." And so on the very first evening, the natives surrounded the hut that John and his wife were in. The natives were planning during the night to break in, attack, and kill them. John and his wife expected to be attacked at any moment. And so they stayed all night on their knees in prayer, praying for safety all through the night. Well, the night eventually passed and the native warriors never attacked. Gradually, the Pollocks learned the local language and they won the trust of the people. Many of them came to know Christ. But after the chief of the tribe became a Christian, John said to him, "We have always been curious about the first night we were here. Your tribe surrounded us with your spears, but you didn't attack. Why not?" The chief replied, "Because of all your guards. Where did you get all those men?" John said, "What guards? What men? It was only my wife and I inside the hut praying." The chief responded, "Oh no, all that evening we saw large men with swords in their hands surrounding your hut. We were afraid of them, and so we never attacked." You know, Christian, it's great to know that God can dispatch angels to provide a protective hedge around his servants. I believe today that there's a hedge. Again, I believe there's a hedge around us. If we're serving God, there's a hedge. God has placed a wall of fire. God has placed angels of protection. And the third thing I want to look at this morning is the protection of the hedges. You can pray for a hedge of protection around those you love. God put a hedge around Job, his family, and all his possessions. How many of you would like for God to put a hedge around you that Satan couldn't get in? Satan accused God of building a hedge around Job, and God never denied it, so it must be true. God put a hedge around Job, his family, all his possessions. Satan couldn't get in. Job was the kind of father who prayed for a hedge of protection around his children. Early in the morning, he would sacrifice a burnt offering for each of them, for each of his children. Because he was thinking, perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. So this became Job's regular custom. He realized that God had called him to be the spiritual leader of his family. There's an important question I want to ask every man here this morning. Are you being a good spiritual leader for your family? Is it your regular custom to worship and pray and intercede to God for your family? Parents and grandparents, we need to pray a hedge of protection around our children and our grandchildren. Husbands and wives, you can pray for God to put a hedge around your mate so that they will remain faithful to you. There's a beautiful illustration of this in the book of Hosea with Hosea and Gomer. Hosea's wife Gomer was an adulteress. She wandered from her husband. God put a hedge of thorns around her to keep her from being unfaithful and to eventually come back to her husband. But the entire story really is an allegory of how Israel tried to be unfaithful to God, and God would put this hedge of thorns around them and bring them back to him. Hosea chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns and make a wall that she shall not find her pass. And she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them. And she shall seek them, but shall not find them. Then shall she say, I will go and return to my first husband, for then it was better with me than now. So I want you to notice that Hosea specifically prayed for this hedge to be around Gomer. Somehow, he had learned the important principles of God's hedge being built surrounding those that he loved. And he also knew that it worked. And so we too need to realize the importance of spiritual hedges, that we can pray around people that we love for God's divine protection to guard their lives, to keep them from evil, and if they are involved in evil, to bring them back to righteousness. The Bible gives us some examples of those who helps us build a hedge in our lives. One is angels. We talked about them. Ministering servants who minister in the lives of God's children. Another is people. And we need to be willing to stand in the gap for others, on behalf of others. To stand in the gap to pray for others. One of the most important things we can do is to become prayer warriors and intercede on behalf of those we know. And maybe even those we don't know, but somebody close to us does know and cares about them. Moses stood in the gap so that God would not destroy Israel. Hosea is a picture of praying a hedge around Gomer, but the true picture is praying for a hedge to be around Israel. And I believe, Christians, we need to start praying for a hedge of thorns around the United States of America, that God would bring us back. We are no longer a Christian nation, not by any stretch of the imagination. And we need to pray if God's going to restore America to its foundations. Psalm 106, verse 23. Therefore he said that he would destroy them. Had not Moses, his servant, his chosen stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. How many times does God look for a man to stand in the gap? I mean, it's such a sad commentary in Ezekiel. He's looking for a man that would stand in the gap, that would fill the hedge, that would fill the hole. But there was none. Guys, if you are to be the man, the spiritual leader, the head of your home, you need to stand in the gap for your family and pray the hedge of protection in place. However, you have to know that the hedge can fail. It can fail. The hedge of protection requires certain responsibilities if it's going to be effective. There must be a dedicated purification in the life of one who stands in the gap. There are a couple of characteristics that are absolutely necessary in order for the hedge to be effective. Number one, there has to be obedience. Dads, there has to be obedience on our part. In Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 5, it says, And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. When Israel became disobedient, God removed the hedge. He took it down. Dads, we have to obey God. We have to be living in obedience. The second thing has to do with our attitude. Hosea had a certain spiritual attitude that allowed him to stand in the gap. And that same attitude was found also in the life of Job. Both of these men had the character and the attitude that God recognized and honored. And it has to be found in our lives today as well. If we look at God's word in describing the attitude of Job, chapter 1 and verse 8, it says, And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth or hates evil? You will notice four words that describe the attitude. Not only that Job needed, but for us as well. First of all, he was perfect. That means morally pure. He was a good man, blameless. He walked after the ways of God. He had a heart for God. The second one says that he was upright. That means that he was standing upright in his conscience. The ability to look God in the eye without being ashamed. It was shamelessness. And then it says that he feared God. He was one who respected and reverenced God. He was aware of God's presence at all times. And then it says that he escheweth evil or hates evil. And that means that he ran from sin or avoided sin and disobedience at all costs. This is the kind of attitude, guys, we need to have if we want God to bless us and protect us and provide for our every need. And then I got to give you a word, though, about willful sin. Because absolute disobedience takes us outside of God's umbrella of protection. Dads, we could, all we want, we can pray for our family. And we can have these attitudes of Job. But if our children persist in willful disobedience, we have to realize that our protection can only go so far. That they expose themselves outside of that protection, they expose themselves to the realm of Satan himself. And that's why the Bible says that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft and stubbornness as iniquity. When a child purposely walks and lives in rebellion toward God, if there's any child here, young person today here, you have rebelled against God and you have walked outside of God's and your family's protection in willful disobedience, you're on your own. You're on your own. But let me tell you this, the whole family suffers because of the love that God has placed in each of those family members' hearts for you. Their heart aches. They love you. They don't want to see any evil happen to you. Moms, dads, grandparents, myself included, I've protected myself. I've insulated myself. I've said things like, I've done the best that I can do. I taught them in the right way. But you know, I've purposed, I got to stop saying that because I realize that my job is not done yet. I can still pray for a hedge of thorns to be placed around their lives. And I will pray, pray, and pray. I think sometimes we make the mistake. Our children get to be 18, 21 years of age, and we think our responsibility with them is done. And they're on their own. But as I looked at this, I saw Job praying for his children, offering sacrifices every day, and his children were adult children. Just because they had sinned didn't mean that Job was going to just hand it over. He was going to keep praying. He was going to keep asking for protection around them. Yeah, we'll cry sometimes. Our hearts are broken. But let's not give up on our children. Hosea was devoted to God. Just as Job, one had to wonder. And this is the problem. Please listen carefully to me now. Because, you know, we had that experience with Dan, and it worked out so well for us. But, you know, he could have just as easily died, and there are Christian young people that do. There's nothing special about us or special about Dan. So I have to ask myself, why did God allow him to live when others maybe wouldn't have? And how could Hosea have a wife that committed adultery and became unfaithful? And how did, even though Job had this protection, what happened that Satan eventually got through? He only got through the place where God allowed him to. That's what we have to understand, though. He was only got permission to enter in and go so far. Only God would allow that. But God knew that Hosea and Job would honor him no matter what the difficulties or the problems or the suffering, and the heartaches that they went through. And if you have suffered and you have had heartaches and things have not worked out the way you would have prayed for them to do, I want you to know that God chose you because he knew that you would honor you, him through it all. If your hedge is built only if God is good to you, then it won't work. The key is the quality of life found in your life. And God won't allow a gap to come in your hedge to find out what you will do. You know, he already knows what you will do. God knew exactly what Job would do and how he would handle the situation. God allows the gap in your hedge so that Satan can discover what you'll do, so that you can give God glory in your life. Even in your infirmities, you will find strength in God as you win the victory over the evil one. And in the process, you will encourage others. See, we don't mind God demonstrating how great he is in someone else's life. We don't particularly want him to demonstrate his grace through us for someone else. We would rather for him to choose to do it in someone else's life so that we don't have to go through the pain and the suffering. It's the quality and the character of the man that brings about a hedge to protect a family. And you keep the hedge. You keep the hedge built by cleanliness and communion, and we make a commitment of consistency in our lifestyle for the master. I read this story about a pastor's wife who left her husband and began to live a life of open and blatant sin. She began working in bars and dancing as a nude dancer at a bar. This pastor, his heart was broken. He pleaded with her to return, but nothing he could say persuaded her to come home. He shared his broken heart with some close friends and began to pray for her restoration. They began to pray that God would place a hedge of thorns around his wife. She would go to a particular bar where she was having an affair with the man who owned the bar. She would go from one area of the bar to the other, invoking her business, selling drinks to customers, getting him to buy her drinks, and she was making a lot of money. Now, if someone were to put a hedge of thorns around you, thorns that were at least 3 inches in length and the hedge surrounded you 3 feet in diameter, what would that mean? It would mean that people couldn't get close to you. That's what it would mean. Ladies, you ever received a dozen roses? How close do you want to get to the thorns on those roses? A week or so went by. She went to work one night, and the very same people who were regular customers sort of ignored her. Here she was, walking around, scantily dressed, totally ignored. No one wanted to buy drinks from her. They ignored her when she danced. She was being totally ignored. Before the night was over, the owner and her lover told her to get her clothes on, get out, and that he was through with her. But he gave no reason why. I know why. As a result of the prayers of the pastor and these friends, God put a hedge around her, and the people that were once attracted to her lost interest in her and were no longer interested. She came home and asked her husband if he would take her back, and he opened his arms to her. God sealed their love and marriage because a group of people prayed for a hedge of thorns to be placed around her. You can pray. You can partner together and agree with others in prayer, but your heart needs to be right with God so that he can do his work. Hosea prayed for Gomer to return. He was willing to stand in the gap, and she returned home. Israel was the example, and she returned to God, at least for a while. America, I don't know. Your home, your life, I know it can work. I know it can work. I don't want to keep talking about our story, but I just want to share one thing, because Dan, I believe, was hedged in. And looking back on it, we could say that he was restricted, that God pushed him in a certain direction, but I'm glad that he did. First of all, they weren't going to go skiing where they went. The night before, they were thinking about going somewhere else. But God pushed them to Afton Alps. Because not all ski resorts have AED machines. The Shane, the man that saved his life, wasn't going to go skiing. His dad talked him into it. He had never taken his daughter skiing before. This was the first time. And so here, God is hedging the whole thing together. And Dan and John and Andrew had gotten to Afton Alps. They'd only went down one hill. They were standing at the bottom, waiting for the ski lift. And Dan collapsed, and Shane was right there. 7,000 people were there that day. God had Shane right where Dan needed him. He was being hedged in. And he collapsed, Dan collapsed right outside the office where the administrator had the AED machine, pushing him to that spot. And an ambulance was already on the way for somebody else who didn't need the ambulance. But God had worked it out ahead of time, closing in on the hedge. I pray for a hedge of protection around our children. I've been doing it for every day for 30 years, at least. And I don't know. I don't know how many other times God answered the prayer that I'm not aware of. But even so, God had hedged him in. There was still a way that Satan found through the hedge to attack him. But he could only go so far. Because like Job, I believe God said, you can touch him, you can afflict him, but you can't take his life. Would I have wanted to go through this? No. Some of the scariest moments we ever had was after we got the call from John saying that Dan had went into cardiac arrest and not knowing if they revived him before they got him on the ambulance or not, all the way to Regents Hospital, we didn't know what we would find, if he was going to be dead or alive when we got there. It's not something I would choose. But yet, at the same time, I had a peace about it, that I knew that if Dan left this life, he'd be in heaven. But now, I see why God allowed it to happen. I got a call this last week from a guy who says, you don't know me, but you might recognize my last name. My last name is Linehan. And I said, yeah, how do you relate to Shane? He said, I'm Shane's uncle. Shane's dad, Don, is my brother. He said, I got to tell you, when I found out you were a pastor, I was excited. When I found out you were an Assembly of God pastor, my wife and I literally were jumping up and down. He says, let me tell you why. We have been praying for Shane and for Don, for their salvation, for 30 years. I don't know where it's all going to come to. I really don't. But at this point, I'm just saying, God, you allowed this to happen so that you would be glorified and you glorify yourself in any way you can. I'm here to tell you today, dads, that I believe that the hedge of protection works. And I'm calling you to stand up to be spiritual leaders in your homes and pray daily for your family and not just the children that are at home. If you have older children that are outside the home, pray for them. Don't ever give up praying for them. Pray, pray, pray. And if you have children that have been influenced by the God of this world, a long time ago, Satan got through the hedge. Somehow, maybe it was your fault, maybe it was just your children were willfully disobedient, you can start praying a hedge of thorns around them, that the evil influences in their life would lose interest and leave them alone. Here's what I'd like us to do this morning. I thought about how to close this. And what I would like is for all of the women and children to come stand up front. All the women and children, if you'd come and stand up front this morning. I got this idea, and I know we won't be long, I promise. I got this idea from reading about the musk oxen one time. How musk oxen protect their young. Maybe, ladies, if you could kind of just fill in this gap here. You don't need to be in a straight line. Just gather in there as a group anyway. And what the musk oxen do is they put the females and the children in the middle of a circle. And then the males surround that circle. And when they're attacked, they use their horns to fight off the enemy and to protect the females and their young. So guys, this is what I want you to do. I want you to come up here and form a circle around our children and our ladies today. Now we could pray for those of you that have children that are needing to be reined in. But we're not going to do that. But guys, we'll probably do that at our next men's meeting. Not the coffee one, but we're still going to have our meetings in the evening as well. But tonight, you got to form a circle, guys. A circle. A complete circle. Join hands if you have to. I can stand here. Get wherever you like. Let's just... Okay, guys, just hold hands there and pray the person next to you doesn't have a cold. Pray a hedge of protection around your health right now. What we have in the physical realm here is what's really happening in the spiritual realm as well. And guys, I want you to take this seriously. Every day, pray for a hedge of protection. And we gathered as a church because we're a church family.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And it's not just my family, it's your family. It's all of our families together. And so what I want to do is lead us in a prayer of protection for our children. And for our wives. And then when I'm done praying, if anybody else wants to pray, they can do so too. But let me have that privilege this morning, praying for you. Father, I thank you today for these spiritual leaders, first of all. These men. Lord, maybe we're not where we need to be. None of us really are all that we should be and can be in you. But Lord, I thank you that the guys are here and they're willing to take this responsibility and stand in the gap and pray. Lord, this morning, what we have done here physically, may it be reality spiritually. That we are building a hedge of protection around our children and our wives. Lord, I pray for this hedge to be compacted so tightly together that there would not be a way for Satan to penetrate, that he would not be able to spy out a way in. Pray for their protection. Lord, on top of us, this wall of protection, I pray that you would place thorns so that any within the circle, if they would try to get out of the hedge, they feel that they are being restricted. And they feel like they're being bound and fenced in. And they want to get out. I pray, Lord, that the thorns would keep them in. Lord, that they would realize that they need to serve you. And Lord, today, I pray for those that have willfully gotten out of the circle already and have jumped the hedge. Lord, that today would be the day when they would say, I want to go back in. I realize today that my perspective was wrong, that my freedom wasn't being limited, but I was being protected. And may they willingly make the right decision today and place themselves back in this protection. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Could we sing? Would we need the